Oh, don't you desert me, Unity.
You're the sweetest honey from the honeybee.
Oh, yeah, Unity's pretty Unity. Sweet, isn't it? Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, without Will, on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in association with GorillaMedia.co.nz. Will can't be with us today because, unfortunately, quote, I've been restrained and have to deal with Nazis all day. That's right. He's going into the court system for some description of minor fine or parking ticket. That's right. There is such foolishness when it comes to the legal system that it doesn't make any sense. And the reason why it doesn't make sense is because I think a legal system should work. If I thought that a legal system was supposed to make sense, I'd want a legal system that didn't work. Then it'd make perfect sense. This is manufactured insanity, you know? Why do you take people away from their families and from their ability to earn money during the day or something rather of that nature, which would probably be more productive to society, than sitting around doing absolutely nothing in a dank courthouse? You know, I just went to the courthouse today. Two of them, in fact, the High Court and the District Court. You know what I found interesting about the High Court? Is that there's virtually nothing arraigning it but devil carvings. No, seriously, look at the High Court building in Auckland, man. It is classic. It is covered with demons and serpents and, like, horrified faces and, like, evil-looking wealthy people and whatnot. You know, just to be clear, who owns the place? The courthouse is the domain of Satan himself. Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say that. Satan would love to live in a courthouse, I'm sure. Nothing that good where he is. Speaking of Satan, our Lord and Saviour himself, Warwick H. O'Barry, and his deregulation plans for the US economy basically means that you have to shut down all state-owned enterprises and such like power and whatnot so that you have huge blackouts, and then you give exemptions to enormous government-influencing CEO scumbag corporation-y thingies such as GE, who come in and buy them for pennies on the dollar and then rip everybody off with their rates. Oh, the tyranny. I just love it how it's really, really possible in this day and age for people to be mindlessly brainwashed into such servile slave scum jellyfish. Just have no spine and float on the water, as it were. That you can easily convince them that becoming poorer and more destitute is good for you. In fact, that's policy. It's admitted policy, even. But they don't say it in their campaign speeches, because then you won't elect them. Because you realise that no matter which one of them you elect who says they've got good things promised, they're going to do something terrible to you. Because they're not the ones who would even be in control anyway. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, without Will, on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, broadcasting live from the sunny slave capital in Auckland. We'll be right back, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, without Will, on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, brought to you proudly by GorillaMedia.co.nz, New Zealand's unconventional news. We're broadcasting live from the future in New Zealand, and our Kiwi collaborator for today, his name is Billy McKee, and he is a representative from Green Cross New Zealand. So we're going to talk about medical cannabis. Billy, are you there on the line, mate?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Thanks very much for that. Thanks for the opportunity to have a say.
Well, that's the interesting thing about my show, is I give everybody to have an opportunity to have a say, especially those who disagree with me for sometimes. But anyway, here's something that I do agree with, is medicinal cannabis. And I don't know if you know, but we've had Rick Simpson on the show very recently on this week. And we're kind of very, very well aware of the effects of medical cannabis. But what we're not aware of is who you are. Who is Billy McKee, and how did you get involved with Green Cross?
Well, I got involved with Green Cross because a drunk driver ran me over and ripped my leg off and left me with quite a few other injuries, you know, like to my other leg and to my hands and my elbows and my hips was all injured as well. So I was in quite a high level of discomfort, like most of the time. Well, pretty much, yeah, most of the time, nearly all the time, actually. And I'd been prescribed quite a few different medications from the doctors, and you know, but quite frankly, you know, the effect from them wasn't very good. You know, it wasn't a good effect at all. I wasn't able to do very many things because I was sort of too spaced out through the day, and you know, I just felt pretty depressed about it all. So I started using cannabis for, you know, to keep me going and stuff, and yeah, and so I could come off the prescription medicine. So, and that worked out quite well. There was, you know, there was a number of problems with it, mainly like things like availability and cost and quality were, you know, big problems. You know, plus you can sort of constantly worry about the police busting as well. So that's not a, you know, that's an added layer of stress there all the time. And you know, over here is, you know, quite a few problems with gangs and stuff over here as well. So they're a bit of a worry as well. So you've got a couple of big problems there.
So, and of course, if one of them were to assault you or something, at least you could use cannabis for the pain.
Better already.
Yeah. I mean, they might even be carrying some for you, you know.
Yeah, well, they might be, but it doesn't generally work that way. As a general rule, they want some, and they don't want to pay for it, and they don't care if they, you know, have to go to some extraordinary extents to get it, you know.
Hold on, so, I'm confused. Are we talking about the police or the gangs?
Well, are you implying there's a difference between the two?
I was wondering if there was, yes.
Well, yeah. In some ways, you know, there was a difference. In other ways, there's quite a few similarities as well. I actually refer to the police from time to time as the biggest organised. They refer to themselves as well as the biggest gang in New Zealand. But I also refer to them as the biggest organised crime group in the world. Because even if you look at Egypt, what's happening there, you know, it's really the police. The people are battling with the police, and they've been battling with the police all the time. You know, they're our president. He never would have been able to stay in there for this long without the police intimidating everybody. You know, but this happens worldwide. Look at the police in the States, their behaviour. You know, so it is a worldwide problem. Is the power of the police have just got too much power.
Well, is that a free society, though? I mean, giving police more power. I always wondered this because no human being does well with amounts of power for too long. You know, it all eventually goes to their head. And we've got 19-year-old police officers now busting up parties and trying to arrest stoners and then chucking away like 35-year-old stoners and then giving them a lesson on life. You know, it's just ridiculous.
It is. It's total madness, you know. Yeah.
Mm. So, are they there to enforce the law or enforce moral objectitude codes? You know, come on.
Yeah. Well, you know, they really should be there to trying to reduce harm to society, you know, by arresting, you know, people that are having a smoke, especially medical users, and they're still arresting medical users, you know, and, you know, take them through court. Sometimes they let them go. You know, we've had quite a few people from Green Cross have been, you know, sort of come into contact with the police for one reason or another. And, you know, the police have had, you know, proof that they're using cannabis and caught them with cannabis and different things like that. But quite often the police will actually let Green Cross people go. You know, they've got a Green Cross card, they got support from their doctors. And, you know, so a lot of the police are really good sorts. But the real problem with the police is the hierarchy.
Yeah, well, we had a guest on the show a while back last year. Her name was Grace Hayden, a lovely woman. She was a police prosecuting sergeant for 15 years. And she said on the show that the police are so corrupt that you either leave or become corrupt.
Yeah.
It's like only a matter of time. And it's like only a matter of time. And to me, it's no surprise. I mean, because after all, if you have laws that are based on lies, you'd probably need liars to enforce those laws. And anybody who becomes a police officer who believes in any form of truth wouldn't be able to survive there.
No, especially when that's the culture of the police force as it is to be dominant and tell lies in court. You know, I speak to sometimes to some of these undercover cops that have, you know, they've sort of come out after years and years, and they tell about all the lies and stuff they told in court.
They were ordered to lie.
Convicted.
They were ordered to lie was the interesting part.
Yeah. So, you know, where's the responsibility here? All these people, and there's a lot of them, went to jail. They went through all the hardship of the courthouse, court hearing and trials and everything like that. They went to jail, and then they served their time, they get out. But basically, things are pretty fucked up when you get out.
Unfortunately, we cannot use any of these seven words that you can't say on radio because we are under FCC regulations on this show.
Yeah, sorry about that.
But
just got a delay on it?
No.
I won't swear again. I'm not actually.
You're going out live on 26 AM FM stations worldwide and 100,000 plus listeners, buddy.
Okay.
Don't worry, I don't mind myself.
I shouldn't swear. I'll try not to.
You can use the effing and the BS and the hyphenoms or pseudonyms or whatever nims you want to talk about, you know. But the thing is, it's all language and nitty gritty. Like, for example, I was talking with a member of the cannabis movement here in New Zealand about how cannabis, according to Rick Simpson, many of his studies, which are very well documented, can cure cancer.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, cannabis can cure cancer, makes us all look at like a bunch of fringe loonies. It's the truth, isn't it?
Well, it is. Yeah,
so how can it be loony to tell the truth? And now, isn't that interesting, though, in our society, isn't that the way it is? You're a loony if you say the truth, because everybody thinks that lying is a good thing.
Yeah, well, the propaganda, especially in the cannabis issue, has just been stacked up and stacked up, you know, just lies upon lies, and people have actually come to believe it.
That's like Joseph Goebbels said, if you can repeat a lie often enough, people begin to be persuaded by it.
Yeah, even the person saying it. I've seen them do it, actually. I've seen a cop do it one day.
Mm. I'm the good guy. I'm the good guy. No, you're not, mate.
Yeah.
If you're working for the bad guy, you're the bad guy.
You know?
You didn't think any of the henchmen of like of like some description of dictator or whatever were good guys, you know?
Yeah.
What's the purpose that you serve when you put on a uniform, and is it the right purpose? I mean, I've talked to police officers and I've asked them, you know, do you have the discretion? And they say, yeah, we do. And I say, well, would you mind exercising it, particularly when it comes to young men who you're arresting for cannabis? Because it really, really destroys their lives and it creates the next generation of police haters.
Yeah, it does. And we're getting into the third generation of that here now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and see, a lot of those original people, they probably got arrested and jailed after the police, the undercover cops actually went into the area and gave them seeds and got them growing and then arrested them and then got them put in jail for it. So those guys would have a real chip on their shoulders about it all. They've got kids, they've probably got grandkids by now, and they've still got that chip on their shoulders.
And now they've got all sorts of psychological problems as well because of the stress they're under.
Yeah, yeah, and the best thing for stress? Have a smoke.
Cannabis!
Hey, you know what you're talking about cannabis being used for cancer before?
Oh, yeah.
Because I've been using the oil from the seed. Which is quite legal to you can buy that online. It's quite legal to get that.
It's not the same one. You have to actually get the high potency THC oil. You know how you I forget how you do it. You use isopropyl alcohol supposedly, and you get all the resin off of it, and then you burn the resin off. And about one syringe or something was how they portrayed it.
Yeah, I've seen it on that Run from the Cure on the YouTube. Yeah.
But we had a health expert on yesterday who said that the general hemp oil that you can buy in stores won't do anything like that.
It probably not in that case, you know. But I use it a lot for skin problems,
you know,
and it does help a lot. And I drink it as well, and it helps a lot. You know, like just for general health and general well-being.
Oh, it's true.
Your health is good. Hmm?
That's true. I mean, how do cannabinoids actually work when they attach to cells, though? Because I'm aware that you have specified cannabinoid receivers in your cells.
Yeah.
Which are geared to particularly go after those. And the more cannabis you use, the more cannabis receivers your cells grow. So I find it very, very interesting because apparently, and I'm not 100% sure on the validity of this, but what cannabinoids can do is sort of change what they are, almost, to like your cell will be craving a particular type of nutrient, and a cannabinoid has the ability to fulfill many of those different nutrient needs.
Yeah.
And it just kind of decides which one.
Yeah.
I heard that, but I'm not 100% sure if that's 100% true. But,
yeah.
But it sounds about right, because if it was a cure-all plant, as Rick Simpson claims and has documented that it is, then it would probably make sense that it could act in many different ways, all of which being beneficial.
Well, obviously they're acting a lot of different ways, you know, through the members of Green Cross. You know, and that's why I mentioned the oil, because, you know, quite a few people had, you know, a lot of success with that oil for medical conditions. And the same with the seed. You know, we've been eating the seed from the hemp seed, which we got some imported a while back. And that's been beneficial in some ways as well.
Well, it's the most nutritious food known to nature, apparently, hemp seed.
Yeah, and the thing is, if you're nice and healthy and your body's getting all the nutrients that it needs, then the chances of cancer getting hold and starting to grow is probably reduced. And also we've been using the roots for people that have had nerve damage. And just eating the roots, and that seems to make a huge difference to them.
Well, that's the cool thing about it, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a multi-purpose product. Yeah. I mean, and there's several products that you can make out of it, of course, but think about all the different arrays of pharmaceutical drugs that were offered in counter to this one plant that can do pretty much all of them.
Yeah. Well, there was one lady from Green Cross, and she had, like, some sort of stomach cancer, and it was costing $5,000 a week for her medication.
The top five pharmaceutical companies in the world, or something around those lines, made the most money out of any other corporate chain in the world last year.
Yeah, probably. I bet it didn't cost them anywhere near that to make it. Probably only cost them $5,200 or something to make and delivered, you know.
Yeah,
but anyway, that's how much they were charging, and it was causing a problem. She was, you know, it didn't actually cure the cancer. She still had, you know, huge problems, and she started using cannabis, and she started using cannabis butter. You heard of that? You would have heard of that, eh?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's improved heaps. But the thing is, she's already had it for a long time, you know. So it's sort of well established, so she's in serious problems. But, you know, if she'd got onto it sooner, the chances of it healing more would have been, you know, much better.
Well,
so that's, you know, a life, a mother, husband, a wife, and she was out of action. She was on that much medication, she couldn't look after a kid, she couldn't go shopping, she couldn't do anything. And then once she got onto cannabis, she could at least function again. So that was a big relief for her, you know.
Well, it's a safe alternative, because after all, cannabis doesn't have like millions and millions of side effects. It's like the worst side effects is, I don't know, perhaps if you've been drinking too, you might vomit or perhaps get a bit sleepy. But other than that, you know, you don't have full spectrum hallucinations and I don't know, have wild sex orgy parties, apparently, as the old propaganda says.
That's cocaine you're thinking about there, I think.
Yeah. Oh, and you don't just randomly murder people either. You know, and this is the interesting thing about the law, isn't it? I mean, it's based solely on a lie. Now, in what point throughout history has anybody actually read a law or done some research to back it up and got listened to? Yeah, it's a heck of a ladder to climb.
Yeah. Yeah, the media has a lot to... You know, the media hasn't been fair with the subject. It's been very biased. And, you know, quite often any constructive stuff that people start saying about cannabis, they get actually a bit ridiculed, you know?
Yeah, it happened to Dr. Green not too long ago. The close-up program did a story on them, and they're like, oh, yeah, man, it's very nice, cool, you know. And, yep, they did a hit piece on him.
Oh, was that at Waitangi Day?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, the reporters were fine. You know, the reporters didn't edit it. It was the editor that did that. And unfortunately, it sort of blew up and everybody got a bit of custard on their face, you know. But quite frankly, you know, a lot of the reporters do the best. The best is what they can. And the problem is actually coming from the top. A lot of the reporters are really good people, you know. I know a few of them, and, you know.
Did they question their own, the authority that directs them, though?
Yeah,
I guess if they did, they wouldn't be reporters, would they?
No. They wouldn't have a job. They'd be unemployed.
So, hold on a second. And this is another interesting point about the war on drugs. If you're against the war on drugs, you can't come out and say it because you lose your job.
Yeah. Hey, quite a few people have been getting in touch with me lately because they're bringing a lot of the businesses in New Zealand are starting to do this testing for urine samples to see if you've been smoking cannabis.
Yeah.
But what they're not testing for impairment. They're actually testing if you've had a smoke or been near anybody in the last 6 months that's had a smoke.
Well, the CIA figured out back in the day, apparently, that if you are a cannabis user, you're much, much more difficult to brainwash.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Isn't that interesting? Because we just don't listen to you.
Well, where are the most creative people? I mean, where are the most successful people? Haven't they all pretty much smoked pot? You know, Bill Clinton smoked pot, Barack H. O'Barry smoked pot. It doesn't matter. Bob Dylan. Right, so the stigma that gets put on cannabis users I find very, very ironic because there's evidence, stark evidence, to the contrary in virtually every single sector. The concept of the lowly stoner or the cannabis cultist, as I've come to call them, is that of a loser, some description.
Yeah.
And again, just like the law itself, based on BS.
Yeah. Yeah, probably the biggest losers are the people that drink a lot of alcohol, probably as a group.
Well, it kills more people than crack, coke and heroin combined each year. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Our very special guest from Green Cross New Zealand is Billy McKee. And we will be right back after the break.
My reach is global, my tower secure, my cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations, I'll let them all die in exasperation, have them all healed from the lacerations, have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison just because I don't like them, and I can do anything with no permission. I have it all under my command because I can guide a missile by satellite.
We're back! Live from the future, baby. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show without Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com, where you can cruise in and see the radio archives of any friggin' show that we have done, or at least links to the effect. Welcome back also to our very special guest from Green Cross New Zealand, Billy McKee. Billy, welcome back.
Thanks, buddy.
Right, now, go ahead, mate.
There's another thing I wanted to mention to you about the using the cannabis for medicine is some people have been using it, you know, just the raw bud, fresh bud, and just sellotaping it onto, like, nerve damage.
Sellotaping raw bud onto nerve damage.
Yeah, and even, you know, like if I get some, like, skin cancer, little lumps like that, and I just sellotape it onto them.
Wow. Now, that's real simple, isn't it?
Isn't it? And the thing is, you know, like, because my legs being amputated and I get, you know, high levels of pain from it, depending how much I've been walking on it. But so if I walk on it a bit one day and I'm trying to go to sleep at night, there's, like, no way I'm going to go to sleep because it's really hurting. And I just sellotape some butt onto it and, you know, like 20 minutes later, it's stopped hurting and I can just go to sleep.
Sweet as.
Just sort of chuck that one in there.
it's just basically asked and answered. The debate is over. Now we just need to repeat it 1,000 times until people start to pick up on it.
Yeah. It's incredible how sort of hard-headed a lot of people are. And they, it's probably all the propaganda they get and the brainwashing that's been going on for years and years about how bad it is.
Well, technically, brainwashing is addictive. Did you know that?
It's a what?
It's addictive.
Okay.
Yeah. So interestingly enough, brainwashing, which acts like a drug, has been used to make you think that drugs are bad.
Yeah. Because it actually appeals to your emotions, doesn't it? You think, oh, the bloody cannabis is going to ruin my family and put my kids into jail and stuff like that. And it's actually really not the cannabis. It's all some bloody stupid laws around it.
Yeah. Well, it gets you real hyped up with a whole bunch of hate, doesn't it?
Yeah.
How beneficial is that? You know, just a whole bunch of hate raging inside our boys in blue and our court judges and all our general citizens. You know, don't they realise it's their country too?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, this can happen to, like, poor just innocent stoners and stuff like that who are just having a good time or whatever. And you know, some guy pulls up and they get taken into a car, handcuffed, get all their stuff taken off them, get their piercings cut off them with bolt cutters, as happened in Christchurch recently.
Yep.
There's all this type of sexual molestation that's been happening by through police being reported, you know. For goodness sake.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with the enforcement, at the very least.
Yeah.
And something at a very deep level.
It's the police culture, isn't it? Yeah, and they have a huge influence on the laws.
Well, they do.
Yeah.
Just like the military have a huge influence about where they stay or go.
Yeah, I heard that the other day.
Just recently, ladies and gentlemen, the SAS said to John Key, our Prime Minister, can we please stay in Afghanistan and shoot Talibanis, please?
Yeah.
And John Key went, yo, okay, you twisted my arm.
Again, fellas.
They're selling out our boys overseas. They're selling out our youth in this country. They're indoctrinating the police into some description of gang feudalistic culture.
Yeah.
You know, where does the cookie trail end?
Ends with a change in government. In New Zealand, we need to get the Greens in into power and government, or get a big hunk of Greens into Parliament, and that's going to be the start of our change. And same worldwide, you know, over in the States and that, you know, there's no good bouncing back and forth between the Republicans and the Democrats over there, because they both dance to the same fiddler. They both there to make the rich people richer. So, you know, you've got to vote for the Greens. Well, I think the Greens is the only other option you've got over there. It's pretty much the only option we've got here. We just need to get those bastards out, quite frankly.
Yeah, well, yeah. Heap the scum off the top of the pile. Give back to Caesar what's Caesar's. I thought that was a brilliant idea. But apparently, it's not an idea that many people are ready to digest. Because they're self-appointed guardians of the status quo. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Exactly it. I actually seen a poll done on the internet last night. There might be an information website or something like that, and they've done a poll for the next elections, and the Green Party got more votes than anybody in any of the other parties. The Labor Party and the National Party, they do lots and lots of harm to the average people in New Zealand, and yet the people still keep voting for them. It just boggles my mind. Why would you even vote for them, people, you know?
Well, I would question why you vote at all this year. I mean, I've realised that the whole system is bunk. You know, I mean, the Greens have promised many times to try and liberalise cannabis laws, but they simply don't have the numbers, and they're not going to achieve a majority. So,
if they've got the numbers, then they can do it.
Exactly. But I was thinking that if it's going to be a movement to legalise grass, then the movement has to be grassroots, you know what I'm saying? What was happening today, in fact, in district courts all around the country, including Waitakere, Whangarei, Auckland Central District, and Wellington, I believe, there were cannabis protests outside the courtrooms for hours. And that's kind of unprecedented, because I've not seen anything like that, other than, for example, once a year we have an event on the 1st of May called J-Day.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think the movements the movements are really getting going out there, and the Daiquiri in Auckland has been doing an amazing job, really pushing the issues out there. They've gotten more media coverage than anybody else. Most of it's negative, of course, but it speaks to the fact that activism, I think, is more effective than politicians. After all, we can't hold our politicians to account, can we? I mean, if they don't want to answer a question, they don't have to. It doesn't matter whether
they don't want to tell the truth.
Yeah.
If they want to say one thing before they get into Parliament, and then when they get in there, they can say another thing. Then they do.
So why would the Greens be any different, you know? I mean, like...
They're not corporate controlled. They're not being just for greed. They're actually aware of the environmental issues. There's many forms of greed,
I would think. But some of them, you know, I would venture a guess that maybe, I'm not 100% sure that any one party should have a say in Parliament, because I think basically they've all failed everybody.
Well, the Greens haven't really been in, so they haven't really had a chance to fail anyone. If you read the Green Party policies, which they have no choice about sticking to, then you...
There's a difference between a policy and a principle, though. Yeah, I'm just extra suspicious, maybe, because the founder of Greenpeace, you know, and stuff like that, he said that what the new green agenda is all about is just pushing communism. They call it social justice now. I mean, back in the 70s with the McCarthy era, where they would raid anybody with a communist meeting place or anything like that, they then changed their names to Progressives and Greens. You know, like the watermelon effect of the green on the outside, red on the inside. What I'm saying here is that we're being provided with Tweedledee, Tweedledum, and Tweedledoo. You know, it's like they all part. The direction doesn't change, does it? I mean, all the way up through the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, it's all just been one long stretch to make this country progressively worse, more in debt overseas, and everything like that. So my conclusion is that the entire political system itself, and I wouldn't necessarily point fingers at particular individuals, but the entire system itself, and I think particularly Treasury having an inordinate amount of influence on Parliament, really, really must be addressed before any election I could believe in. You know, I mean, Obama came in under the "Change We Can Believe In" slogan, and now he's going to go. And now he's going to campaign in 2012 for a change you can beg for.
Change you can what?
Change you can beg for.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, of course. Yeah, because I was a real supporter of Obama when he was, you know, in his whole campaign. You know, we donated money to him, we did whatever we could to support him, and then he gets in and he just backstabs everybody just like that.
Yeah, I know. And I would think that, you know, like, you have to be kind of a ruthless person in order to get up that high in politics anyway. So it means that anybody who gets into prominence would know that game.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you, actually, what you're saying about the political system needs to change. But we're not going to get a change in our political system with the political parties that we've got in power now.
Yeah, exactly.
The chance of getting a political change is, like, unless you do something like what Egypt's done, which I totally support. You know, we made a donation to them this morning through Code Pink. You know who Code Pink is? It's an American group.
No. Hmm? Who are Code Pink?
It's an American group. Anti-war. Woman against war, I think.
Oh,
but
yeah?
They're very active, you know, so we support them, and, you know, I'm trying to get them to come on board to help to stop the war on drugs as well, because it's still a war.
Yeah. We've
still got casualties. We've got full prisons. Oh.
Prison camps.
And with kids.
And we didn't start it, did we?
No, not at all. No intention at all being involved in that. So, so I reckon, you know, like, that's what I'm sort of thinking. If we can get the Greens in, then we've got a better chance of getting changes in the way the government's run, because they're actually run by the bureaucrats. You know, you vote somewhere.
See, that's what I'm saying, you know, like, political parties come and go. But the central bank remains, so does Treasury, so does the Justice Department, so does the police. The machine keeps operating in the exact same way. I mean, it would be revolutionary, for any government to make any change in this country whatsoever, knowing the system we have, as far as I'm concerned. And it would take an act of, like, something along the lines of what's happening in Egypt with fucking petrol bombs and rocks and everything. We don't want to go that far.
Much better not to.
I mean, there has to be peaceful, non-violent resistance here, because, basically, the whole system's geared up so that we are hamsters on a frickin' treadmill, bleeding money, and just basically dying cold and alone at the end of the story. That's what the government does.
Yeah,
and it's
when can't get any more work out of you know, on the scrap pile.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, well, sorry, we've had enough of you. Off you go.
You can't work long enough anymore. Hey, but see, that protest in Egypt, it started off as non-violent. It only became violent when the when the police started attacking the riot, the protesters.
Well, and also counter-protesters started attacking the protesters.
Well, who are those counter-protesters? They're actually
they're working for Mubarak,
yeah.
President Mubarak.
Yeah, so that's his crew, which is all the police and anyone else who can round
up. And you know what else his crew did? They went into the Egyptian museum and started smashing stuff and taking stuff and then blaming it on the protesters as well.
Yeah. Hey, but see, you see what happened after that? The police, the protesters formed their own police units.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they did their own policing.
Cool.
Now, if you can do your own policing, and you can say, well, the police aren't allowed into this area because we do our own policing and we don't trust you anymore, so we'll do it, then that's a place for a good change there because, see, the police just got way too much power.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. And I just did a video recently about kill the search and surveillance bill. Because that is a multi-headed monster and it's going to crack down on every single freedom that we got thus far that everybody's died for to protect.
Yep, it's terrifying, that bill.
Yeah, I mean, we are under attack. Like, seriously, there's a general progression towards tyranny here. And it's not just happening in New Zealand, it's happening everywhere. That's why everybody's talking about this new world order, because the whole world is going to hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and that's why these protests are being talked about like a domino effect.
Yeah. Well, it's if they can pull it off, they can shake the new world order because the Yanks were propping up that bloody Mubarak president over in Egypt anyway, and he was a bloody crook, and they're still propping him up as they do all around the world.
Anybody who's seen the news pictures of the tanks, guess which tanks they are? Abrams effing tanks made in America.
Yeah. I heard the protesters were complaining because a lot of the smoke bombs and all that had Made in America written on them.
Tyranny, fresh and delivered to you via FedEx.
Yeah. Check on this, you freedom fighter. Yeah, it's shocking, isn't it?
You're a bad bearded terrorist, and we're going to smoke you out. We're going to smoke you out of your cave.
Yeah.
The tyranny.
So it is a multi-headed monster that we're battling against, and the cannabis is just one aspect of it, and the medicinal cannabis is only one aspect of that as well, because it's the food value of that plant.
And we'll get into more of this just after the break, ladies and gentlemen. Our very special guest coming at us live from New Zealand is Billy McKee from Green Cross in New Zealand, and we'll be right back.
Anger to a place that ain't gonna get up in your face. The facts we all get, but the system fails. We got to change the way we see the problem if we're gonna fix this place. My living soul don't care about the color of your face. Unite and we'll respect our right to live here on the land. It's Dino Ranga, Tina Tonga, we don't own the banks. The parliament does so where do you ever stand? They pay their bills off your back with hefty tax demands.
Oh, and those taxes are extra hefty these days. The government's like a big friggin' gang, and all they're looking to do is just come and tax you. Isn't that fabulous of them? A very special guest is Billy McKee from Green Cross in New Zealand. Billy, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks, Billy.
All right. Now, final words, I mean, do you have a website here in New Zealand?
Yep. That's it, greencross.org.nz.
All right. Now, one that I wanted to go through is the sort of international aspect of this, because I was speaking with Dr. Green today about the influences, right? Like, what if New Zealand had legalized cannabis? Would it be part of a domino effect, and is that likely? I mean, apparently it's fairly unlikely because of the inordinate amount of influence that we have from overseas. And this happened to the Netherlands as well, that when they started talking about liberalizing cannabis laws, they got threatened with all these trade embargoes and all of this other kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Hold on a second. How could it actually be done? Because every single person who'd come into government would say, hey, look, these people are going to destroy our economy overnight if we legalize cannabis. maybe the idea would be to turn the economy into a cannabis economy. After all, it can do pretty much anything.
Hmm?
We don't need them, do we?
That's exactly right.
If we've got cannabis, we don't need them. So what does their influence matter?
I mean, you don't need them for oil.
Yeah.
You can get enough oil from the seeds. You know, you can use it for food and that, but you can use it to run. Apparently, you can run it straight into a diesel engine. You don't even need to process it. Just, you know, crush the seeds and crush the oil out of it, and it will run a diesel engine. And then you can process it, refine it, and you can make fuel out of it that will run. It'll run a petrol engine. So, you know, and look at all the area. You know, like they're talking about digging up coal and stuff like that. You know, to make stuff. But all up the far north, you know, there's heaps of area up there you could grow cannabis, and all down the western coast, all that sort of stuff. It would create work for pretty much everybody if you were allowed to do it. And I totally agree with what you say. You know, just say that, you know, well, if we totally legalise it, we don't need them.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right?
Yeah.
And because we don't need them, it means that they are very, very determined to make sure that we don't realise that.
So they probably go the extent of nuking us.
Pardon?
If we did that. They'd probably nuke us if we did that. they're actually quite heartless, eh? They don't really care how much damage gets done, eh?
Well, they're the most ruthless, psychopathic scum on the face of the earth, to put it lightly.
Yeah, totally agree with every word.
You know, but these words wouldn't be put out on mainstream media, would they? You know, in the news today, a couple of psychopathic, disgusting scum decided to order the Prime Minister to sell off the country's assets. Here's Tom with the weather.
Yeah.
You know,
the thing is, it does grow quite readily. It's quite a easy crop to grow. So the only thing stopping people growing it is the bloody government.
Well, you can get apparently 3 harvests a year out of growing industrial hemp in the right area, or something ridiculous like that. A friend of mine, when I was a younger guy, he told me about the ethanol that you can make from cannabis, and you know that kind of bit where Mount Taranaki is. It kind of sticks out of the side of the North Island. Just that one chunk there. If an area that big was planted with cannabis, it would take care of the country's entire bit of any kind of petrol needs.
Is that right?
Hmm.
So, yeah, that's incredible. And then look how much money goes out of the country every year just for petrol.
Export petrol.
We export it now, but we just don't get any of the money.
Yeah.
All these overseas,
all these scumbags. I mean, apparently, what's his name? Tim Shadbolt down the South Island, he managed to score us a good deal on the per barrel price that ExxonMobil has the license to get out of the Great South Basin. How much? 4 or 3.5 cents a barrel.
Oh, really?
The scum, man. They're selling it for like $100 a barrel nearly, or whatever the heck it is now. And we get a 3.5 cents.
You only laugh so you don't cry, eh?
I know.
How ridiculous is that?
It's the Billy Eastwood show, the lighter side of genocide.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, all that oil should be staying here. It actually should stay on the ground. But
again... It's just like with the cannabis. Because we've got cannabis, we don't need it.
Yeah. We don't need your crappy food either.
Hey, yeah.
Because you can make a lot of food out of that cannabis. Eh? You can even make ice cream out of it. Did you know that?
It was the number one ingredient for close to 100 years or something like that, until the law was passed, and then it was ordered out of every cookbook.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's something that I read from Jack Herer, the late hemperer.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because it was well used right around the world, and then in quite a short period of time it was gone, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some people thought, hey, that's threatening my profits. You can't give people medicine. You can't give people building materials. Not when it takes me years and years and decades to make mine, all right? That's just not fair. So I'm just going to make that illegal, thank you very much, and then I'm going to control the drug trade and profit off it anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And apparently people used to have it like, you know how you have porridge for breakfast? And they used to just, you know, have the seeds, but they used to cook them up, and it used to be called gruel. G-R-U-E-L. And just about everybody ate that for breakfast. And in the olden days, you know, a lot of those people, they survived on not very much, and they were a bloody hardy bunch, you know? I wouldn't want to go through.
That's the good thing, I think, about New Zealand, is we are also a hardy bunch, and we shouldn't put up too much crapola. I'd like to thank you very much, Billy McKee, for coming on the show with us today, mate. Hope to have you on again sometime.
Yeah, that'll be great. I'll be looking forward to that.
Thank you very much. Okay. There he goes. See you, mate. There he goes. Billy McKee from Green Cross New Zealand. Ladies and gentlemen, that wraps up our Kiwi Collaborator segment for today. Coming up next, you'll be enjoying some, provided the internet connection holds and it doesn't get switched off by Barack H.O. Barry's kill switch. We'll be back next hour with some ranting from Vinny. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, without Will, on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, brought to you in proud partnership with GuerrillaMedia.co.nz. Speaking of NZ, anybody out there been seeing it on the news repeatedly and with 14 hours of live friggin' reporting? Queensland counts Yazzie's huge cost. Anyone seen this enormous cyclone, which would be called a hurricane in the north, but a typhoon if it happened like in Asia? I don't know why they're calling them the different things. Maybe it's because you want to figure out which side of the world they're on. I don't know. Under laden skies and sheets of torrential rain that obscured its ranges, North Queensland was last night counting both costs and blessings as Cyclone Yazzie raged into the west, losing its potency as it went. The massive Category 5 cyclone raging on the coast between Cairns and Townsville early yesterday and cutting a 1,000-kilometre-wide swath was the largest storm in the state's modern history. The last time a storm of this magnitude hit was about like 1918 or something like that. And you can bet that the developers who put all their houses right on the shore in total risk of surge comes out of the sea, you know, because the air pressure is so low that the sea rises, apparently, washes over everything like a little mini tsunami. Be holding your salami, I'll tell you. And also, the UK is expected to now sell off some of its forests. And it's expected to make a loss. Really? Well, how do they know that? I don't know. Maybe they looked at their colony New Zealand and what happened in the 90s when we sold off our forests without even valuing them, which had been growing for frickin' ages, and lost every single bit of money that we had. Because we just love the World Bank that much. Speaking of loving the World Bank, according to Gore, the global warming is causing record snow and cold. The record-setting snow and cold afflicting much of the nation, and by this I mean the United States, in recent weeks doesn't seem to jibe with Al Gore's dire warnings about global warming. But Gore has an explanation for what's causing the wintry conditions. Global warming. Gore! Right. Oh, the blood and gore that would need to be smashed into existence if that man were to ever be taken down. I would think that perpetrating one of the worst frauds upon all mankind that is going to deindustrialize everything and take us into a modern neo-feudal state where there is no middle class and there is simply the pittance and peasants begging from the king's table and the kings themselves. I'm sure everybody will be very, very happy to know that whenever they do get the inclination to go driving, they get taxed by the mile for it. Whenever they do decide to have a child or something like that, they have to get permission. If they ever do decide that they're going to buy a house, they have to pay tax on that as well. It's called Bye-Bye Free Society. CO2 is the building block of life and also the building block of anything that would ever, you know, house a human being, including a human being for that matter. I mean, come on. But the climate cultists are still on the march beyond all terms of persuasion, saying that, oh, these people who are global warming deniers are being all funded by the oil companies. Really? How many of them are being funded by the oil companies? Well, there's a couple of organizations over here. Yeah, organizations that are incredibly small and insignificant and don't comprise a huge chunk of the population that doesn't believe this tripe. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show Without Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com, where you can see our fabulous archives and contact us at the show here, producer at TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. And we'll be back in just a few moments. Same song. Our climate cultist godfather. And welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show Without Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in conjunctivitis with GorillaMedia.co.nz. Now, you know, the interesting issues. Fight back against O'Berry's deregulation of GM alfalfa. Oh, no, and believe me, this one is a little rascal. On January 27, 2011, the O'Berry administration caved to Monsanto. That's right, the most evil thing in the world, which even FCC regulations forbid me to utter the breath of. Monsanto. You know, it's like the Voldemort of the news world. And decided to fully deregulate its genetically modified GM alfalfa, a horrendous move that threatens to destroy not only the entire organic industry, but also the integrity of the whole of agriculture. And, you know, that seems about right, because that's exactly what Monsanto do. They destroy the organic industry and also destroy the integrity of agriculture everywhere they go. That's right. If you got anything that has an alfalfa freaking sticker on it from Monsanto, bro, throw it in the trash. I mean, actually, don't throw it in the trash, because it's probably poisonous and it won't be disposed of properly. Instead, spray it on the food that you eat. There's a better idea. Huh? Gets into the water catchment areas. Swear to God, man. There's some very, very, very nasty corporations out there, and you just can't run out of things to say about Monsanto. And according to reports, the O'Berry White House pressured U.S. Department of Agriculture Chief Tom Vilsack to approve it based on its own political agenda, rather than on evidence proving its safety, of which none exists. the contamination. You know, well, I'm glad that I live in New Zealand, because technically we don't have GMO crops coming in and being grown here that I know of yet. We got sold out over this stuff. Just recently, our Department of Agriculture slashed $1 million of funding from a fabulous little program that grew organic food. No, can't have that. Too crapola. Let's get some chemical sprays to destroy the water table and make everybody get retarded anyway. Well, wouldn't that be a nice thing? Wouldn't it? You know, it'd be very, very difficult to have intelligent people asking questions. So why don't you just, you know, chemically dumb them down? Wouldn't that be brilliant? Speaking of dumbass people, Kissinger praises H. O'Berry's handling of Egypt. Man, O'Berry's getting a lot of grief lately. He deserves it. Except, and Kissinger also says that Mr. Mubarak has months at most. At most. Maybe. Be interesting to see that. former Secretary of State Kissinger, a highly controversial figure in US politics and a known mass murderer, of course, suggested this week that President Barack H. Obama, in his handling of the revolution in Egypt, correctly, despite objections from Israel. "We have been acting correctly."
"Oh, we have been acting correctly,"
he told Bloomberg TV during a Tuesday broadcast.
"We have been playing catch up, but so is everybody else."
Meanwhile, President Barack H. Obama has, according to published reports, played a key diplomatic role in persuading Egypt's military to stand down and urge President Hosni Mubarak to not seek re-election. Hey, wait a second. Why would you want that, Barack H. Obama? Hold on a second. Hasn't the US been funding Egypt since the 70s and specifically training their military to serve the president? So it doesn't matter about Mubarak. He's a fall guy. He'll go down, obviously, because everybody knows his friggin' name. And there's no bloody place he can hide, for one. And secondly, what's going to happen after it? Oh, man, what's going to happen after this big, fabulous revolution that everybody's raving about is some great call to savior and democracy or whatever the heck? It's going to be mob rule for a short period of time, and then they're going to bring in some other government. Meanwhile, the values of everything in that country, from commodities to real estate to, well, freaking everything, because there's no trust in the country, people don't want to put their money there, so everybody's going to get so badly impoverished that they'll beg for a police state government to take them back. Come on. Where's the intelligent revolutions out there? I mean, it's all very well, you know, and I admit I've been out there on the streets many a time with a sign yelling through a megaphone and well aware that it may accomplish nothing, but just makes me feel a lot better. But on the other hand, how can one person do anything? 4 million people can obviously do something, in Egypt, as it were. And also, at the same time, we have other places happening, like in Yemen, where over 20,000 people have taken to the streets in, quote-unquote, the Day of Rage. In Sana'a, more than 20,000 Yemenis filled the street of Sana'a on Thursday for a Day of Rage rally. Now, isn't that a great idea, to rally everybody to be enraged? I thought, well, you know, there's not terribly much bad about it. At least it's not a day of apathy. Well, but wait, hold on a second. They celebrate that every other day, don't they? Demanding a change in government and saying President Ali Abdullah Saleh's offer to step down in 2013 was not enough. Further anti-government protesters were expected across Yemen, which Saleh has ruled for over 3 decades. Hey, just about the same time as Mubarak. Do you see the correlation here? Dictator for 30 years, dictator for 30 years, revolution. Anything adding up? I wonder how many... In fact, that gives me a brain schism. How many other regimes are there in the Middle East right now that have been in power for 30 years and are about to be overthrown? That's food for thought. At least we can have food for thought. The people in Egypt, which is reasonably really rioting, is because they can't afford food. Meat itself has become unaffordable to most people. And tomatoes is about to add onto that list. No wonder everybody's ticked off. Do you have any idea how grumpy people get when they're hungry? No, seriously. It's going to happen, man. And it's going to happen here too. Wherever you are, wherever you're listening to this show, this is not going to be an isolated case. It's going to start popping up everywhere. Food prices are going to be astronomical. All right? The Jetsons wouldn't even have any contemplation of how futuristically high the food prices are going to be. Oh, and it's a very, very frightening prospect. And it is happening everywhere. What's the solution? Throw out the New World Order, please. What's that? What's the New World Order? Okay. New World Order is a consortium of private banks that have basically co-opted the government via the power of money that they can create out of thin air, who now rule them because he who has the gold makes the rules. Okay, period. There you go. There you have it. Is that a nice succinct example? Oh, but the government would never do that. Actually, no. History is littered, literally littered. In fact, I'm not sure if there is any government that hasn't had this kind of system going through where people wind up having great ways of scamming people in order to get power and riches off them. All right. The Romans had a very good idea. Hey, why don't we raid places with our superior militaries and steal all their stuff and then use all the wealth that we steal to expand? You know why the Roman Empire stopped working and started collapsing because they stopped expanding. There was no more stuff to steal, and so they imploded. What's happening now everywhere on this earth is the precise same phenomenon. Seriously, you have any idea how much money has been stolen from all of us? All of our governments have been sold out, bought out, rented out, whatever thing you want to call it. We're being taken over, is what? Taken over very, very ruthlessly, diabolically, and secretively. There's all measure of laws that are being thought up, schemed up, and have been thought up and schemed up long ago, that are just now being introduced, just because everybody's now been brainwashed to the point where they might think it's a good idea. You go 50 years ago and you say, excuse me, sir, you know how you normally go up to your police officer and he's a bobby on the street, a real nice guy, and you know, if you needed help, he would help you? And you go, yes, yes, I do remember those days. Well, imagine back then somebody came up to you and said, hey, you know, it'd be a really good idea having cameras on every street corner, arresting people for doing absolutely nothing but dissenting views against the government. What then? You go, well, I'd be absolutely outraged. Well, for F's sake, you've grown up in the system that possibly, conceivably, and I'm not sure, I haven't grown up in that system. I don't know. Was it even free back then? Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. Maybe today we have is a much better form of tyranny. But it's still a tyranny. And people, you know, they vote as if their votes mean something. Mark Twain once said that I would never vote because it would only encourage them. I'm inclined to agree with him. Whenever you vote, every single time, you are giving away consent. Consent to an authority that has never, and conceivably will never, represent you in your purest form. The only thing that can represent you in your purest form is you. That's about right. If you want a government to do something, you don't freaking walk up to some description of box, take a piece of paper, throw it back in the box, and think that that's going to work. All right? If I told you, mate, we've got to build this building, we've got 3 years to do it, and you said, oh, man, you know what we could do in order to get that building made? We could get a whole bunch of pieces of paper and draw a scribble all over them and talk some bollocks, and then maybe that'll get it done. Oh, ye of little faith, some would say to me. They say, oh, ye of brainwashed faith. I mean, come on, wake up. Everything is a lie in our society. Everything. From the shoes on your feet to the hat on your head and everything in between, including the ideas that you currently possess, is a fraud. Period. There is no arguing with it because it's a fraud. You know, the drug war's bollocks. The medication system that we've got is bollocks. The media is pathetic, worthless, derivative scum of the lowest order. And I have no respect for them whatsoever, except when they do something really, really good. All right? And then I give credit where credit is due. But it doesn't change the fact that it's one green spot on a brown apple. All right? And anybody who thinks that they can change the world by going into politics, this being election year in New Zealand, maybe it's because I've actually done the campaigning. Maybe it's because we did research as me and Penny Bright went into the Auckland Public Library and looked over 6 months of political yabbery-do and found out that the media was absolutely biased. About 700 photographs I took that day of all headlines and whatnot like that. And a ridiculous proportion of them were propaganda. Not even propaganda, but certainly the most propaganda you've ever seen in your life. Demonization of any decent person or voice of freedom is one of the first things that happens in an election. And so what happens in this election? John Key says, oh, I'm ruling out voting for Winston Peters, and then polarizes the entire public saying that, oh, Winston Peters is going to be the kingmaker, so they can keep him out again. Right? You seem to be the only party that was so dead set keen against privatization and selling out this country to foreign banks that he had to be taken out of parliament. All right? Seriously, that's what happens. Most people know jack about Winston Peters. He's actually quite a funny guy, you know? And she tells jokes and is a little political bees, which I find quite amusing. You know, two blondes walk into a building. You'd figure one of them would have seen it first. Moving on. Jordan's king sacks government as fear of rebellion spreads. So now we've got Egypt to Yemen to Jordan. So are we progressing somewhere here? Or is this just going to be some demagogue-driven, rabble-roused type of revolution where, like, a few people get hung and then the whole same system continues after the bankers come in and buy up everything up for pennies on the dollar while the economy crashes while you have a revolution? And then consolidate power and leave you even more destitute than you were before? I mean, come on. You know? This is not the way to do it, in my opinion. You know, it's nice. It makes for good television, doesn't it? You know, we're sitting there with thousands and thousands of miles away. Imagine what it's like there. Petrol bombs, rocks, police, tanks, all that kind of jazz, and they're trapped. Trapped like rats on a sinking fajita. Speaking of sinking fajitas, in Mexico, turns out that they are now supplying electricity to the wintry Texas. And of course, the only reason why this is possible is because Texas, the biggest energy producer per capita of a piece of land in the world, hasn't got enough electricity for itself. It's because, thanks to new carbon tax legislation, new power plants that were almost built, power plants that were currently being built, or ones that were already existing and running, have been shut down in order to hike up the frickin' price of it, make everybody destitute. And then, when frickin' the United States goes down hard because everything it has been building for the last, 200 years, 300 years, US has been around, trying to build itself up to provide for itself, is being shut down on purpose by Barack H. O'Barry's administration and the World Bank New World Order scum. You know, they're forcing you into receivership, people. Mexico State Electricity Company on Wednesday started supplying electricity to the U.S. state of Texas, where demand shot up amid unusually cold temperatures and caused power outages. Mexico's Federal Electricity Commission was determined to support Texas with electrical energy faced with the problems the state is suffering due to climatological conditions, a statement said. An energy transfer of 280 megawatts began at Friday, 1800 Greenwich Mean Time, via the North Mexican border cities of Nuevo Laredo, Reynosa, and Piedras Negras, it added. Texas Governor Rick Perry, Bilderberg Group attendee, who is selling out Texas like it is frickin' hot cakes, Rick Perry, said in a statement that power and emergency management experts were working with utility powers to ensure power was restored as quickly as possible. Yes, I'm sure you're going to do that. You know how you're going to do that? You're going to sweep in with blimmin' GE electricity to buy up all the bloody stuff that you were building in the first place for the state of Texas for pennies on the dollar and then have them control the power grid. Wouldn't that be nice? Frickin' heck, man. What a scumbag. Seriously. I don't understand why anybody can tolerate scum selling out your country. I sure as frick in heck can't. That's probably why I do the radio show. Anyway, in good news, meditation class helps lower violence at an Alabama prison. Hey, well, that's something to laugh about. At least when the country gets turned into a police state, you can meditate and at least won't be as violent. Deep inside an overcrowded prison with a reputation for mayhem, convicted killers, robbers, rapists gather in a small room. Very nicely and snugly. Eyes closed and they sit silently with their thoughts and consciences. Everyday life is just outside the hall. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will, or without Will. Sorry, we'll be right back after the break on the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com and American Freedom Radio. Yeah. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show without Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz. And continuing on, meditation itself supposedly is very, very good for allowing social skills and that kind of thing. Patience. Now, you can obtain all these things, of course, without meditation. Or supposedly. In fact, that's just a theory of mine. Maybe the only thing you can do in life is meditate. I don't do it, and I seem to be getting along okay. Perhaps I could be better. But, yeah. There's innumerable excuses not to do it. But I guess in prison, you don't have quite so many excuses not to try it because that's the only thing you can do. And this is the interesting thing. Violence and a-hole-type behavior, to put it lightly, can be caused by a range of factors. And one of which that I've noticed, pretty prominent, is diet. You know, this is a prison in England, I believe it was, who changed the prison diet to nice, healthy fruits and vegetables and quality meat and whatnot. And the violence rate dropped 50% or 25%, I forget which. Still freaking significant for a maximum security prison. And you'll notice, ladies and gentlemen, that all the people that you ever meet that are real hostile and absolutely psycho, just have a look at what they're eating. I can guarantee you they're eating crap. And so guess what they treat you like? You know, it's cause and effect. Healthy body, healthy mind. Healthy body, healthy mind. You know, and you know, I can't say that I'm particularly uber the health nut or whatever. To tell you the truth, I pretty much can't afford to be. You know, not drinking fluoridated water is pretty expensive sometimes. That was why in Hamilton, it was Wellington actually, they had a public fountain that wasn't fluoridated and people were turning up for miles around to fill up their drink bottles. Oh, that was great. Now, talking about things that are really great, Egyptian police car runs over protesters. Egyptian police have, I don't mean to offend anybody, but there we go. Egyptian police have reportedly run over a group of protesters in capital Cairo amid massive anti-government demonstrations in the North African country. A police vehicle drove directly into demonstrators on Thursday, hurting some of them. The official English website of Muslim Brotherhood, Ikhwan Web reported on Thursday, gunmen firing on protesters in Cairo's Tahrir Square killed 7 people on Thursday as Egyptian protesters are keeping up the pressure on the president Hosni Mubarak to step down. If you want to expose a fascist, you've got to get them to act like it. This is fascism right here, ladies and gentlemen, and when I say right here, I don't mean literally, but I'm sure we're not too far off. Man, it must suck to be in these places right now and not be part of it. You know, you'd be sitting at home thinking, oh no, everything's going to chaos, instead of on the street going, yeah, everything's going to chaos. Yeah, but guess who's going to emerge as the leaders and murderers and prime sinisters in chief? It's going to be some description of scumbag emerging yet again. Now, I don't mean to sound cynical, but that's probably what's going to happen. You know why? Because people weren't enlightened as to all of the stuff. They just said, hey, food prices are real bad. Everything's real scuzzy. You know, we were perfectly prepared to put up with tyranny while everything was bad, but the food prices, oh, that was the kicker. So therefore, they don't really understand the whole system and how it should be replaced or what the real core problem is. The problem isn't just this Mubarak dude who's been a dictator there for 30, but he's a token puppet of some description any way you slice it. And, you know, I guess that the same thing applies to virtually every other country in the world. Well, the exception of a few, which I probably don't know the existence of because they never get any media coverage for being good leaders. because the media only represents what happens in the majority of cases, right? Right. Well, one thing I would be particularly concerned about is the just the wholesale destruction of human rights in every way, shape, and form. Isn't it really just something that we should learn about in school, perhaps, you know, what is a human right, and spend more than just one class on it, perhaps, maybe include some description of debate, and everybody has to kind of understand the concept before we can move on? Because after all, I'll probably say, the reason why they don't teach it in schools so much is because they don't want the students answering back and saying, hey, this education system is a fraud and you're brainwashing me. Oh, the conditioning. That's right. Conditioning doesn't just happen in your shower. It's in every room of the house and every house on the planet. Every mud hut for some reason. You know, your environment has a steady effect on you. And guess who creates it? Those who have inordinate influence over it. Okay? Politicians, more to the point, the people that fund them, so much being ridiculously sized, corporations or organizations where there's no description of freedom of thought or speech anyway, because if you do question anything that what your particular organization is doing, you get fired. Thus maintains the status quo. And isn't she a beauty? Oh, yes. Medical system kills about, it's the third leading cause of death. Kills three times more people than the road toll. Government in the 20th century, admittedly, under government programs, has been far more hostile to its own people than anybody else has ever been to theirs. You know, Cambodia. Cambodians killing Cambodians. China. Chinese killing Chinese. And it's not entirely different. Well, I suppose maybe the scale and the color of the tyranny changes, but the tyranny itself stays persistent. Until we can really get some frickin' credible media in this country. I'll say that word operatively because we've got an international audience. Get some frickin' leadership that doesn't back down. And then we'll probably watch them get assassinated. You know, it's like fighting an uphill battle. Like, hold on a second. That gives me an idea. The current political sphere is Hamburger Hill. You're charging up it for no reason, and heaps of bodies are stacking up. Again, for no reason, and you shouldn't have been there in the first place. That's politics. It is a frickin' meat grinder. If you have any original thought, any concern for your fellow man, you will get chewed up and spit right out. Why wouldn't you be? Heck of a lot of scum right up the top. Now, that's what I realise, man, is that scum doesn't float down to the bottom, you know? I mean, the scum in our society aren't like the lower-level gang members or, beneficiaries or whatever the heck. The scum are the politicians. The scum are the bankers. The scum are the people who actually do nothing, create nothing, and create no real wealth. Instead, steal everybody else's either for themselves or their masters. Like good little clapping seals they are, designed to distract us and entertain us. Politics is the entertainment front face of the global agenda. Okay? It's very entertaining. I'll give it that. You know, there's people laughing and cheering and booing and ooing. But not much else gets done. Passing draconian frickin' legislation strips everybody of their rights, sends the country further and further into tyranny. That's gonna get through. But if you want to give people fundamental human rights, if you want to stop selling the country out to foreign nationals and destroying our economy and offshoring every single bit that we've got to manufacture, you will get so much funding it'll make your head spin. Hello, I am an international banker with lots of credibility. why don't you give all your money to me, and then I'll sell out my own people and give it all to you. It's a frickin' fire sale. Well, the most interesting thing is that it's not isolated, and we're all in it together. I find that quite wonderful. You know, we've all got the same enemies, and they've always been there, and only now, are we starting to realise it. It's like when somebody's giving you a big speech, and he says something that really makes you go, hey, well, hold on a second. And the person next to you, you look at them, and you know that they saw it too. And you think to yourself, hey, maybe we should leave. Maybe we should get out of here. Or maybe we should, throw a rock at the guy's head. But that's the third world solution. What is there is there a first world revolution solution that involves nonviolence? I'm not sure, because I think they'd all work pretty much the same. You know, a nonviolent, non-compliant revolution like in India would work the same in New Zealand, would work the same everywhere. So do violent revolutions. Doesn't matter what point in history you're in or what language you speak, they all work the same way. The fundamentals of war is that the innocent die along with the rest of them. And eventually somebody wins and somebody loses. And in order to win, you need to lose everything. You know, killing 1 million people on either side, and you've got 1 million and one troops and they got 1 million, doesn't make you the winner. Makes everybody the loser, because everybody is worse off, because they're dead. You know, it's not as though people really want to die to protect foreign power brokers. You know, I don't see any recruitment officers going, serve globalism, serve tyranny, sign up right here. We'll give you free education and free bedding and all of that kind of stuff to kill people that don't deserve it. People might be a little bit offended by that. But if you say, oh, it's patriotic, if you say, oh, you know, we'll pay your tuition, oh, it's going to be very, very nice and fundamentally fantastic. You'll learn discipline. Killing people, you'll learn. I mean, come on. It's pretty freaking ruthless, man. Seriously. It's hardcore, disgusting protocol that we're all under here. There's more crimes being committed by the higher-ups than there ever have been on the streets. But we're told to, you know, look out for that fellow man, because that random stranger is the person who's more likely to hurt you than me. All I do is control how much your money is worth. How much damage could I do? Total. If you devalue somebody's currency, it means that everything that they buy to keep themselves alive, dies with it. That's why they don't want you to have any gardens of your own. You know, HR 510, I believe, in the United States is now illegal to grow an organic garden in your backyard. In fact, you can be fined for it. What the heck is going on here, man? It is a brutal technocratic, and this is the great thing about having it being alive in the digital age, you know, that kind of thing. You get a new form of fabulous digital tyranny. Isn't that nice? It's very modern. I don't know about you, but I love tyranny. You know, tyranny's fabulous. Gives me so much content for my show. Oh, yes, it does. Oh, yes, it does. You know why? Because I can never run out of material. That's why news kind of keeps trucking on, isn't it? Because there's always something new and terrible to report. It's not like one day everybody's going to link up in daisy chains and just go, hey, the tyranny's over, isn't that fabulous? No! You need eternal frickin' vigilance. Anybody who denies that has obviously been brainwashed pretty well. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, but we're trying to brainwash you into thinking that you can make a difference in this world. And we'll be right back after the break. The way it's going to be. Ooh, yeah. day we pay the price, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show without Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, brought to you in proud partnership with Guerrilla Media. Second hour, final segment. Let's see how it goes. Now, I was thinking to myself earlier today that maybe there's some description of, ridiculous friction going on here that's going to, course its way around the world. And this Egypt, Middle Eastern scenario, this is just the beginning. This is just the thought I'm having, guys. So what if, let's say by 2012, the world is a radically different place? Think long into the future. Where are we going to be? What kind of hardships are we going to have already suffered by that point? Taxes are going up. All our assets are being sold off. Draconian legislation is being introduced. Vaccines are at an all-time high. People are getting sick, dying out there, and cancer, all of which is preventable. And even if you can't prevent it, it's curable. So imagine, it's just one more year of statistics, really, isn't it? Is that how insignificant the future has become, that it's just another lot of bad statistics? You can point to certain things like accomplishments or whatever, but they're few and far between and relatively insignificant by part and parcel. I mean, they're like one carriage on a freight train that's 500,000 carriages long. That's the good carriage. And we're going to roll right into town, boy. It's going to be a free ride too. No, sorry. Can't get anything for free these days because everything has to be taken off you in order to have it happen. And people don't realize that they're not really in charge of their lives. That's because they don't own their life. The government owns you. Why do you think you have to be paid tax? Why do you think you get tax back? What right do they give to give you tax back? Right? It's because they own you. And they give you it back for being a good little slave. Aren't you nice? You're a good little boy. Yes. Oh, you pay your taxes. Oh, you vote for your false dichotomy political parties. Aren't you just a good boy? Yes. Oh, you're just so cute with the squeezing of the cheeks. Never mind. No, seriously, though. We've been treated like a bunch of frickin' babies. I'm sick of it, really. I mean, being the youngest in my family, obviously, I was that nickname, didn't I? And it just seems that everybody's telling me to grow up. It's like, oh, hold on a second. I don't need to grow up. You need to come back down to earth, son, because you're thinking of up here with all this BS, that the system means well and is all that good. You're living in an effing fantasy. A fantasy that's been concocted purposely so that you won't do anything when tyranny comes. Don't you get it? I should think it's pretty straightforward. But, of course, in order to come to a conclusion like that, you need to do an awful lot of research. Either that or blindly believe somebody telling you it. Which I wouldn't advocate. Because if any revolution was going to last, if any revolution was going to happen real well, it had to be a revolution based on education. Like everybody just kind of, they didn't out-militarize or outnumber their enemy, they out-thought them. Perceived all of their plans and hatched counter-schemes. Counter-political warfare is what I'm very interested in developing. How can you destroy a political party because they're destroying your country? That's the justification for it. Does the end justify the means? I don't know. But I certainly know that it's not justified them getting any votes. If all they're going to do is sell out all the people that voted for them. Isn't that the height of betrayal? Where's honour is the question. And I wonder, did it ever exist? Certainly not in my day. I mean, maybe there was a few examples out there, real bright people, who had some description of honour, who kept their word, who worked really hard and did a good frickin' job and didn't give up. But maybe those people are now the severe minority. Or perhaps it's always been that way. Isn't it easy to abdicate responsibility for yourself these days? It's very easy to abdicate every kind of responsibility, really, isn't it? You can just say, oh, no, that's the government's job. I don't have to keep an eye on the politicians. I don't have to keep an eye on the police. I don't have to factor in all these equations. Everybody else is doing my thinking for me. Well, that's the reason why they've got one over on you, bro. Seriously, because you're too frickin' nihilistic to think that they would have all this power and do nothing with it. I mean, come on. You figure somebody should read a history book or something. I mean, they don't teach you about real history in schools anymore, do they? Teach you a bunch of dates and figures and facts and places, but they don't teach you any lessons, really. You know, here's the story of World War II. Blah blah blah. A whole bunch of people died. Blah 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 blah. Okay, great. Here's the reason why. Because Hitler was funded very, very well by the United States and many large banking families, who also then funded Britain and Russia, and made off with a huge amount of loot. Exterminated heaps of people, most of them Russian, incidentally. And we just have a nice new system now. It's called the United Nations, because the League of Nations didn't work. And now we've got a nice little framework for global governance. So we can take away everybody's sovereignty, steal all their rights, and create a really nice, loving, false reality that everybody can believe in and get behind and be totally enslaved by. Yep. Sounds about right. And if any brutal dictator wanted to ever take over the earth, having a global government under him would probably be the one that you'd really, really love to have, wouldn't it? You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show Without Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. Proudly brought to you in partnership with GorillaMedia.co.nz. I want to say great job to all our crew today, wherever the heck they may be, and all the stuff that they do to help advance this show. And thank you very much to the listeners for listening and telling your friends about the show. We are swelling in numbers quite considerably. Clap, clap. And I mean that seriously. We'll be back tomorrow.